Next case is 98-1879, 1880-1881, James R. Agnew,
Jeffrey Tracy, Packers. So I think he had to. I don't think he ever had a continued objection. I don't think it's up to the judge to think the judge had an obligation to step in and do this lawyer's job for
him. Mr. Mallison.
No, but I think the judge, I think he objected. And they keep saying objection, objection, objection.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Good morning.
The jury keeps thinking, what is he trying to keep?
This case is similar to the one that was decided by this court back in April, by the European Commission back in April this year, versus a Tracy decision. And I'm very mindful of this court, so ruling this case, the unanimity of the court deals with that particular issue. There, in Dupuis, again, you had non-resident shareholders who were shareholders of corporations, but there were federal income tax purposes to be taxed as that corporation. They had business operations here in Ohio, and the state of Ohio sought to tax that income here to the state, and this court affirmed the Board of Tax Appeals on that decision. However, there was one issue with respect to the Dupuis case that the court did not address. It was one that we have brought forward today, in addition to other issues as well. And that really is the issue focusing on non-business income and whether or not non-business income in this case constitutes a distributive share for the S corporations. And if it does, then should that income be allocated to the state of the domicile of the shareholders, which in this case is the non-resident, of course, being outside the state of Ohio.
It's a distributing basis is that when you do an S chapter election, you're basically treating as your own the income from the partnership with the other entity. How does the fact that business or non-business make a difference? The basis is that you're doing a flow through and therefore it should be treated as personal income.
And the one issue, of course, is that with respect to the election, that is an election for federal tax purposes and would be one reason why I would respectfully disagree with this court on this decision in Dupuis. But when you take a look at the definitions in the statute dealing with business income and then non-business income, you first have to identify who is the taxpayer. And business income is basically income derived from a trade or business. Now here we have shareholders who are merely shareholders in a company, and they are not conducting any type of trade or business. Then you look at the definition of non-business income, and it includes, it's very comprehensive, it says everything other than business income, which would include, but is not limited to, distributions. Well, if we're going to acknowledge that the S corporation's distributive share is being passed out to a shareholder, back to distribution. And so now what we're having is a situation where the statute really starts breaking down. And it breaks down regrettably because I believe there's a legal fiction going on between distinguishing between the corporation and the shareholders. Non-business income specifically includes distributions. S corporations have distributive income. Those are distributions. And so now we're into a situation where we have a statute that is really becoming in conflict with itself as a result of the Dupuis ruling, where it's saying, yes, the distribution, it goes to the shareholders. Well, if it's a distribution that flows through to the shareholders, you have a statute that defines non-business income to include a distribution. And when you have a non-resident shareholder, 5747.20b6 specifically allocates and apportions that income to the state of domicile. Statute specifically says, unless otherwise apportioned or allocated, and otherwise specifically apportioned or allocated under a couple other code sections, it shall not be taxable to this state, but rather it shall be taxable to the state of domicile.
Counselors, assume for a moment that this is not an S corporation.
Yes.
Wouldn't the income have been income to the corporation?
Yes.
If so, doesn't that ignore then the code 1366B, Title 26, which says if it's going to be income to the corporation, the distribution, in effect pursuant to the S regulations, becomes income to the recipients?
I believe, as I understood the question, I thought you indicated to the company that the entity had not made the S election. It was just a regular corporation.
That was my starting point.
Yes.
You said it would be income to the corporation.
Yes, under the federal
code. Okay. Then if it's income to the corporation, doesn't the federal code also say if it's income to the corporation, it becomes income under one of these S corporations, for instance, if it's distributed to the recipients?
No. The Internal Revenue Code does not tax it that way. The Internal Revenue Code would then tax the income of the corporation under Section 11 of the Internal Revenue Code. Subchapter of S is a special...
Yeah, I know how it's taxed under there, but what is 1326...
1366?
Yeah, 1366.
1366 is a section within Subchapter S that basically says that the character of the income in the hands of the corporation, when it is distributed to the shareholders, shall remain in the, shall be the same character. In other words, if the company has sold an asset and maybe received capital gains treatment under Section 1231, it will be treated as capital gains to the shareholder. If the company was selling manufacturing widgets and it has ordinary income, that flows through to the shareholders. If the company invested in a mutual fund and had dividends, it will retain its character as dividend income. It's just merely talking about the character of the income, because as you know, under the federal code system, we basically have ordinary income and capital gain property. And I think that's the purpose of that section, is to say that if it was ordinary income type property at the corporate level, it will be the same at the shareholder level. And likewise, if it was a capital gains transaction, it will also be taxed as capital gains. And when the company issues its K-1, that's what it does.
And for lack of a better term, the change of form you're saying is it's income at the corporate level, but it's a distribution pursuant to S?
That's correct. Because then the code then basically says that all of the income of the corporation is distributed to the shareholders. And it just merely retains its character in the shareholder's hands. So when the shareholder goes to include the income on their personal individual return, it is taxed in that same format. If it was an item of dividend, again, it would be subject to ordinary income rates. If it was an item of capital gain, then it would be subject to capital gains rates. But nevertheless, the distributive share of income of the corporation that does flow through to the shareholders. And the specific statute in the state does include distributions. And it is that distribution, then, since we have non-resident shareholders that allocate or apportion outside the state, the problem that we have here with the statute is when you take a look at the fundamental statute, 5747.02, and talking about which taxes the individual who earned or received income in the state, it doesn't say, except in the case of non-resident shareholders, the best corporations. And when you have non-business income, which includes distributions, you don't have another exception, except in the case of non-resident shareholders who are in S corporations. So we have a situation where the statute really starts breaking down.
Okay. These S corporations, under the case that we announced earlier this year, the income that they earn and allocate to the shareholders is taxed for the Ohio purposes.
That's the freehold.
Now, what is a distribution, as you use that term, to that? Are you talking about the cash payout to the shareholders, which the other corporations receive?
I suspect we're probably talking about the same income, because many times this corporation will not even distribute cash. So shareholders, so who's coming up with the money to pay the debt? Correct.
So,
they do.
Your use of the term distribution here is
through
such a way.
Sometimes you
categorize
additional shareholders.
Yes, corporation.
But it's generally,
what money
the ones that I set up with all the
Given certain tax preferences.
Exactly.
To the shareholder.
Exactly. But what Dupuis, your holding on first under the Dupuis case was under 5747.02, and I'm arguing 5747.20b6. And it specifically talks, and you indicate that we find the distributive share income generated by the Ohio business activities income earned or received by the appellants. So that is a holding under 5747.02.
Okay, now you now have, if you prevail, what's left in the freedom?
I grant it not. Because you have,
you're
having an exception to the rule.
You're asking us to overturn.
No, I'm asking, essentially, yes. But I'm also asking you to apply the exception to the rule.
Yeah, I guess, put another way, you're here advancing an argument that you think the lawyer is free or what?
Yes.
And so you should win, and they should have too, and they advance the correct argument.
Yes. Yes. This is an exception to the rule, and also quite frankly, so the inconsistency was in the statute. So you have to remember that resident shareholders of an S corporation, I don't believe they earn the income. Therefore, under 5747.02, the basic statute, they're not the ones earning the income, but they received it in the state, and that's really the right rule.
And they listed it in their federal tax return in terms of their adjusted gross income.
That's correct.
Which is in itself a test in Ohio, standard.
That's a starting point. That's correct. But then when you go back to the 5747.20.6b6, it says any item of income taken into account in the computation of adjusted gross income. So here we are with the same starting point, AGI. And it says not otherwise specifically allocated or apportioned. And if it's a distribution, you're not a resident of the state, it shall not be apportioned. So here we have the general starting point, AGI. And now we have a specific statute that takes that non-business income and allocates it back to the state of domicile. Well, in this case, by stipulation, everyone has agreed that the domicile is not the state of Ohio, but it's the state of Michigan.
To accept your position, though, we have to accept the basic preference that distributive income is not business.
That's correct.
And if you don't accept that preference, you can see.
Under Dupuis, essentially, I think that's correct.
And what about the composition under 1366B that item distributed to the shareholder is to be determined as if the item are realized directly from the store, the corporation? Why is that not
Because business income results from the conduct of a trade or business. If you have a situation,
why is not distribution resulting from the trade?
Because you're looking at can you tell me that these shareholders, active shareholders, were in the conduct of a trade or business? No, they weren't. It really is the entity, and it does fall to the point when we're talking about, with all due respect, a fiction. Because it is a fiction, and the legislature knew that it was a fiction, and they corrected it when they went and they amended the statute in 1994 to specifically include in the past two entities the S corporation. Because partnerships and LLCs did not have S corporation.
Does it make a difference? You mentioned that your shareholder passive
many subcategories.
Housing classes.
Sure, which are not taxed. Family corporations where instead of being sole providers, partnerships, they chose the corporate form and then subchapter S, where principals are anything but passive. Does that make a difference? Because the rule that you advance is would add application to all of those folks.
I think so. I think it does make a difference, because if you're actively involved in the entity, then you're also entitled to compensation for your services. To the extent that you receive compensation for your services, then you earn them within the state of Ohio, and the state would then be able to...
That would be salary taken out of the corporation.
Yes.
And that's a separate bookkeeping item and report in a separate way.
I would respectfully disagree.
No. You get a W-2. The shareholders, owner shareholders, who take out salary, get a W-2, and that gets reported just like any other employee.
Yes, but before you can earn the W-2, you have to do something for it. You have to participate in management to be able to and receive some entitlement.
Sure.
The services that you render.
Sure.
So by definition, if you're a
those employee shareholders who are active, not passive,
yes,
would also get a distribution of any income or loss that shows up on the books after you've taken out their salary.
That's correct. In the way that the state would tax it, because they would receive a W-2 for the portion of their representative compensation, but the K-1 then shows amounts over and above and separate the same way we treat those differently.
Would you call them passive in that case on the K-1?
No, because when I say passive, I'm talking about that portion which is not attributed to services rendered. You're talking about the distributive share of income is absolutely passive. Yes, I believe all of it is passive.
So a very much involved shareholder who is not passive in any of it. I mean, I think the problem here is that their passive has a very real meaning in terms of the IRS.
Well, it has a very real meaning because the services for a long time taken the position that they do not like shareholders not taking, if they're actively involved in management, they want them to take out compensation for the reason that self-employment tax. For a while, it was very much a tax planning strategy to set up the S Corp, be involved on a day-to-day basis, and not taking a salary out, and therefore all comes down to the senior share. IRS said not that long time ago, because now the self-employment tax FICA Social Security system is being affected by that. You have to at least charge yourself reasonable compensation for your services so that we can charge the self-employment tax. So really what we're talking about, when we talk about it in that sense, the distributive share really is the path of income, the leftover.
I'll answer your question.
Thank you,
Mr. Malice.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may I please report. I'd like to pick up where we left off with Justice Pfeiffer's distinction between passive and active, and that is the distinction between the underlying facts in this case and in the Dupuis case. The Dupuis were very active in the S Corporation activities. In the currently the case, the shareholders in this case are currently not active in the business. However, there's absolutely no basis in the Ohio statute, certainly we've been cited to none today or in the briefs, for making that distinction in our code. We treat the passive and active the same. In fact, in the brief, counsel would concede that if we had a non-resident Michigan domicile limited partner, we would in fact pass through in the same manner that we're suggesting needs to be passed through here, namely a business income of a limited partnership, the other side would concede, would the distributive share of that would be business income of a limited partner on the personal income tax return. The same result is true of the S Corporation. So there's simply no
that. And that would be taxed in Ohio, even though it's just a Michigan resident who was not active in it.
That's right, and that result is directly clarified by Section 47.22, which plays a prominent role in some of the arguments in the briefs. It mentions partners and not S corporations. But there's no basis in the statutes for making that distinction between passive and active shareholders. In fact, the Ohio...
Do you give Ohio residents a credit or a deduction if they're part of this situation in Michigan subchapter S or the partnership?
Absolutely. In fact, in the Ardeier case, the court decided a couple of years ago, involved Ohio residents who had claimed the resident credit. And the resident credit basically says, if I tax on income that I have that some other state is taxing me on, I'm going to get a credit up to a certain amount for the taxes I pay in that other state. And it may turn out not to be dollar for dollar, it depends on the relative taxing rates in the state, but I will get credit up to what Ohio would tax me on that amount of income. So there is a resident credit, and I would assume that Michigan also has a resident credit of some sort tax relief in Michigan to taxpayers like these.
It's your contention that Dupuy is right on point.
Dupuy is certainly dispositive on the question of 5747.02, whether or not these are individuals earning or receiving income in Ohio. That question was directly presented and decided in the Dupuy case. What this court did say in Dupuy was that the taxpayer in that case did not sufficiently specify this issue of business income versus not business income.
Well, do you think we could reverse this case and not either overrule or at least modify or distinguish Dupuy?
No, I think that the reasoning of Dupuy actually dictates the result of this case on the business income issue. Because the court basically said that we're going to have to characterize the income at the corporate level. And that's exactly the way our statutes work. The definition of business income in Ohio, if you notice, in counsel's presentation, he said, let's focus on the taxpayer, whether or not the taxpayer conducted a business in Ohio. Well, if you look carefully at the definition of business income in our statute, it says income arising from activities in the regular course of a trade or business, and doesn't say a trade or business conducted by a taxpayer. And in that respect, it's different from a number of other statutes in other states that do make that point. And when he points to a distribution, I think that some of the discussion that the court brought out the fact that usually with an S corporation, there's not an actual distribution from the corporation. What we're talking about is distributed share income, and the event that makes that income on the personal returns of these taxpayers is the fact that the corporation earned it.
Yeah, but
the very fact that conducted business.
But when they get it, when these individuals get it, and I can remember doing not substantial amount of this, but some. It seems to me that's all included in the recipient's adjusted gross income.
Well,
where else would it be included on your tax return?
For the S corporation shareholder,
yeah,
it flows into their return in the year that the corporation earns it.
Yes.
Distributed share through the K-1.
And where do you report that?
Right. Not right.
Where do you report that?
You mean which line on the return?
No, I don't care about the line. You report it as part of your adjusted gross income,
that's
don't
right.
you?
That's right. Let's say in the subsequent year, that same taxpayer actually takes that amount of money out of the corporation as a distribution. That will not be a taxable event. What happens is that then they adjust their basis of the shares. Basically, it's treated as though they reinvested that money.
Yeah, I want to stay with adjustable gross income for a minute. It's got to be reported on the taxpayer's federal return
right.
as adjusted gross income.
That's right.
Now, doesn't the code say that adjusted gross income, whatever it is on the federal level, it's the same on the Ohio level?
Right. Start with federal adjusted gross income, then under the calculation of 5747.01A, there are a number of additions and subtractions that are made to get from federal adjusted gross income to Ohio adjusted gross income. And as we discussed in the argument in the Dupuy case, in 1985, Ohio decided to honor the S election, and it barred the corporate franchise taxation of the S corporation, and simultaneously deleted language in 5747 that authorized the taxpayer to subtract the S-corporation income out of the adjusted gross income figure. So we know that that is in Ohio adjusted gross income, the S-corporation distributive share income.
Doesn't maybe have anything specific to do with this, but I didn't understand the last part of that argument, and when I read in the briefs that in 1985, Ohio decided to recognize the S Corporation. We recognized it long before that, didn't we?
Well, prior to 1985, actually, we did not honor the S election in the sense that we required the corporation to pay corporate franchise tax, and instead of passing it through. But in 1985, it was decided that we could...
Yeah, we taxed it to the corporation, but didn't we also tax it to the recipient?
Well, if ultimately there were a distribution or dividend,
yes,
then that would come in. By the way, I point out...
And then
out,
the corporation took a credit for that.
Right.
Sure.
And what would happen is the definition of non-business income does include a list of items, including dividends and distributions, but it says it may include where a dividend or distribution is part of my trade or business. If I'm in the trade or business, dealing dividends and distributions, that's going to be business income to me. And so it's only non-business income in some cases where it doesn't happen to be business income. So basically, business income is at issue here. It was stipulated that all the distributive share income arose from business conducted within Ohio by the corporations. And the only question was raised by the appellants is, can we pass that through? Do we call it business income when it appears on their personal income tax return? And the answer to that is yes. It should be yes under the reasoning of CP. I note that no comment was made on the constitutional due process argument today by counsel, and I think that it's justified in making no further comment. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in the International Harvester case and so forth that there is actually no problem with the state imposing tax with respect to income that's generated by activity within the taxing state. If there are no further questions,
that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Malice, you've used your time. I'm going to take 30 seconds.
Two very simple points. Counsel indicated that the income set of points was earned by the corporation. That's been our point all along. The income has always been earned by the corporation. Ohio has always respected the entity of the corporation, respected today. And then secondly, when he talked about, well, if there was an actual distribution from the corporation to the shareholders, that would be taxable. Well, it seems that that would be a very easy tax planning device. I can't believe this would be the rule of law. When you have an S corporation make an actual cash distribution to the shareholders, therefore, these owners and shareholders, therefore, would be taxable to the state. Since the company would then need money for operating, have the shareholders lend the money right straight back to the entity.
Very simple. I don't think that's what he's doing. I think he means the actual cash distribution.
Yes.
Part of the taxable exam is the corporation's income.
That's how I interpret it, because then if there was an actual distribution, it would not be allocated to the state. It's not allocated to the state, then it's back to the domicile.
No, I don't think he has abandoned his argument. Say the corporation made $1 million of ordinary income. That gets allocated out to your shareholders. And then say in your scenario, they decided to distribute $1 million of cash as well. I think what he's saying is the cash distribution isn't taxed, but the $1 million of ordinary interest is taxed.
What we have here, obviously, is the problem. The difference between a distributive share and a distribution both come from the same real word, and it's very difficult to distinguish between those two. Again, the only rule that always seems to be popping up in this case is when you read the statutes, they mean very plain on their face, except when we have to add a caveat that's not in the statute, except for the situation of a non-resident shareholder of an S corporation that's nowhere in the statute. And because the statute is spit on its face, I ask that this court reverse the Board of Tax Appeals decision.
Thank you, Mr. Mellon.
If I may, at this point, just also want to thank this court. I am not a member of the State Bar of Ohio, but I would like to thank the court for allowing me to appear before you on a motion for pro hoc vice. I do appreciate it, and it has been, I mean, sincerely, an honor and a privilege. Thank you very much.
Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.